Support for the Players, the Pop Culture as PlayStation podcast, is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code FTP at au.manscaped.com. If my math is correct, and it might just be, that's about 8 million balls.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Betson, all by myself today, and this is For The Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in the games media combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation. Now, Max's part. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to join the conversation, you can head over to our social medias, Facebook, Discord, Instagram. All those links are in the description below. If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can by telling your friends, telling your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are watching us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. And you can help support the show by supporting the brands, help support us, just like our friends over at Manscaped. We'll talk about them a little bit later. Right out of the gate, let's get one thing sorted. I'm by myself tonight. Max is down. He is down with the sickness, as some early 2000s nu metal band once said. He has his house, his wife, his daughter, all butchered by the flu. He has no voice, so I'd be essentially doing the show by myself anyway. So I was like, you take the night, my friend. I will sit here and I'll do it all by the self. And that does mean that it is an open chat. So I will be jumping to the Twitch chat as I record the show, just to keep things going. And Puck comes in and goes, Disturbed was the band that was down with the sickness. I did know that. I was just being coy. And second piece of housekeeping, for those that do follow us on social media, we have had an incident with our Facebook page. Someone got in through one of the other admin Dylan's Facebook account, removed myself, removed Josh, one of the old co-founders of PopC. Changed his email, changed his password, completely locked us out of the Facebook page. So we're in the process of trying to get that back. We're just waiting. Hopefully we do. If we don't, I guess we don't. We don't use the page all that often anyway. It's mostly just to promote the show itself because Facebook is a little bit dead. But it is disappointing to have this happen. It's something that we just simply couldn't plan for. But so we're doing our best to get it back. So if anything weird does pop up on the Facebook page, and if you do follow it, it'd be much appreciated if you give your report, being like, hey, this is not the people that they should be, la 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 la, do all that usual nonsense. Now, I know people that have had similar situations happen to their pages, and they never got them back. So that does bum me out. That does worry me. But as I said, the Facebook page is relatively inactive anyway. It would be a bummer to have to restart it. But what can you do? It's part of the business of having stuff on socials. But we'll work with it as we can. We'll just go with it and as we do. But anyway, when we normally start the show, we start bullshitting for a little bit at the start by asking, how have we been? Now, of course, I'll be asking you, chat, how you've been as well, because I said we'll be getting as active as I possibly can with anyone that did come in on the Twitch to chat. But how's my week been? My week's been not too bad, actually. So it's school holiday week, or second week of school holidays. So I did have my son for a couple of days. I had him on Wednesday and Thursday. So it was his first time having two nights in a row at my place. So the current arrangement that I have with his mother is that I have him one night a fortnight. And that was just because as we're just getting everything happening since the split, everything went down back into last year. And with my schedule being as weird and chaotic as it is, that seemed like the appropriate time. But the idea was that as time would progress and he would get more comfortable, we would increase the amount of time that I'm with him. And we thought, well, with it being school holidays, I had the luxury of taking some time off work. So I took some days off. So I was able to have him for two nights. Two nights and essentially three and a bit days, which was nice. We didn't really do a whole lot. We just kind of hung around the house and just were up in each other's company. And it was really, really nice. To get super personal about it. So for those that know this, my wife and I, my ex-wife and I split in November of last year. Number of reasons. But one of them was just me. And me being a problem and having a lot of damage within myself. And as a result, I wasn't a very good partner. I wasn't a very good father. And I needed to get my shit sorted was the answer. So it was really nice for the 2 days this week where I got to have a couple of days of being a parent and being the parent that I wanted to be. It's not that I'm not a parent every other day of the week. I'm a parent all the time. And, you know, my son calls me all the time and we chat, but it's different. Like I'm getting to do what I should have done. So when I lived with them, I didn't give them my all. I didn't prioritize either of them correctly. And that's what led me to here. So for those 2 days, I was able to give him everything. Give him 100% of me for 2 days or 2.5 days, whatever it was. And it was awesome. It was really rewarding. And it was really, pleasing. I mean, really happy because he was stoked. He had such a good time. And, you know, for what I've been doing in the last now 7 to 8 months is wanting to improve and be better and do that. And so this week it felt like I got to deliver on what I set out to do, and it went well. It went so well. I was very, very happy, and it was good. So he and I did spend a lot of time playing games as well, as he's starting to fall into games as a hobby, as an interest. So thank you to all the YouTubers that he watches. He's really fallen down a rabbit hole of a Hello Neighbor. Now, I've talked about this before in previous shows with Max, and I don't know what it is about the game that he really enjoys, probably just because of the YouTube and it's just fun. But yeah, we played it from start to finish this week. It took us a while because for a game that's not really for kids, but kids gravitate to it, probably similar like Five Nights at Freddy's and stuff like that, because it's kind of a horror game in that, you know, you're breaking into this neighbor's house and then they catch you, and that's the whole bit, right? It's like you're trying to learn that you believe there's something trapped in the basement of his house, whether it be a person or someone, right? Very much like Disturbia, you know, that movie with Shia LaBeouf. So you got break in the house and you feel entitled as your neighbor to go in there and save everyone. And it's all about having him not catch you because the belief is he's some sort of like child kidnapper murderer. But yeah, we got through it. It's a 4-act game, so 3 acts and a finale. And yeah, we got it done and it was fun. We had to use walkthroughs like a bastard though. Like, I don't know how they expect kids to play it without any form of assistance, because it was intense. Like, there were some really difficult puzzles, and because it's one of those games where there is no waypoint, it doesn't tell you how to do anything. It just goes, you need to get in the basement. To get in the basement, you need this color key. Have at it. So then you just do stacked environmental puzzles. Just try to work it out, suss it out, and then go from there and work it out. Like, there's a gate with a screw with a fucking bolt on it, and you got to find a wrench to crack open that bolt, and you know, then there's another lock that you found that's got a different color key, and you know that this is jammed in this, and whatever. It was way more complicated than I thought it was going to be. But yeah, we had fun. Yeah, he felt very achieved, very proud of himself when we rolled credits. So I believe that's my 7th credits for the year. Let me have a squeeze. It is my 6th credit for the year. I correct myself. It's 6th. My 6th credit for the year. Yeah, it was so fun. And for me, it was just I got to enjoy it with him. And we did it together. And it was awesome. I absolutely loved it. But outside of Hello Neighbor, I did return to Outriders World Slayer, the DLC that I talked about last week with Padge, and the game is still fantastic. So having a couple of days with my boy, and then I worked the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was off, and then I had Friday off, so I spent most of Friday playing Outriders. So that was a ton of fun. Really enjoyed that. That DLC is fantastic, in that if you love Outriders, then you're gonna love World Slayer. It is, as I said last week, it is more of the same in the best possible way. There's just enough story to keep you pushing forward, but it's backed up by these awesome, awesome cover-based shooting. Very, as we discussed last week, very Gears of War. Very early on, you know, similar to Uncharted, but Gears of War is the biggest example, the biggest comparative here. As the studio had previously worked on Gears of War Judgment, so that like, they really brought that influence in there. People Can Fly, I believe the studio is called. So it's tight, and that's got that whole looter shooter set up as well, so that you know it's just constant loop of loot. You know, as in every interaction you have is all about picking up new gear and working it out. The problem that I have now is I've gone in there and I've tinkered with all my gear and I've manually pumped everything up as much as I can. So really, I'm kind of overpowered in that, at least from a stat perspective, when it comes to my gear, as in any gear I pick up doesn't match what I've built. I'm still getting trounced in some areas, though. I'm not having the smoothest, most beautiful experience. I'm still getting my shit kicked in occasionally. So I'm on tier 7, I think, possibly tier 8, which is not too bad. It's not gnarly, you know. It's pretty good. So my level is about 39, I think, 40 approximately. And when you sit at that tier, like the enemies are an equivalent level. So about tier 7, tier 8 is about tier 40. About world level 40. So yeah, not too bad. I did have to bump it down occasionally for some encounters, just because I was just getting my shit kicked in and I just wasn't progressing. It was really bumming me out. But yeah, so I'm still really enjoying it. I've now met the main villain of the DLC, the woman whose name escapes me right now, with their all her tentacle nonsense. From the key art, her motivations is she's in the shadows and she's doing a thing, and I guess I gotta go shoot her at some point. Once again, the story is not the most endearing or the most engaging part of Outriders. It is solely the gameplay that it makes it so incredibly tight, and as I said, it's comfort food. So on Friday, I sat there, I had music on, I had podcasts on, and I just played, and it was amazing. Like I don't really get time to just sit, or at least as we discussed before, with everything in my world, in my life, it happened as the way it has been. I haven't entirely had the mindset to go in and enjoy games like I used to, just because I was just essentially too depressed. And now with new decisions, like my sweet new TV, which I'll talk about every week until I stop loving it as much. I'm back in the swing and be able just to sit on Friday and just play, was awesome. It was really zen. I had this real floaty sense of not euphoria, not happiness, I guess. Just like physically, I felt happy after coming off the back, I felt happy. And then emotionally, just coming off 2 successful days with my son, two nights, and he was so happy. It's such a good time. And then Thursday night, I spent some time with some of my dearest friends, which also shared some good positive energy and vibes. And then, so when I woke up on Friday, that energy was still there and it was just kind of rolled in, and able to sit and chill and play games. It's just, I couldn't have asked anymore. It was so good. And then on Saturday, I know we're back into the games part, we'll get back there in a sec. On the Saturday, and then I went and ran around the countryside with some friends of mine from the wrestling promotion, going and handing out pamphlets to people, kissing hands and shaking babies. And it was myself, Jay, who's one of the owners and the referee for a majority of the matches, them and one of the wrestlers, Kid Valiant. The three of us were off promoting. It was interesting because we were going to we went to Shepparton because where the show is, went to Euroa, went to Cobram, which are just country as fuck towns, right? And it was one of those towns that, like, when we were going there, everything was shut. The only thing open was the football. So we went to the football and just handed out pamphlets. And it's like, I'm in like jeans, a black tee, and like a sort of mid-length black jacket with sunnies on just because it was bright, and then Jay in their non-binary finery is rocking these incredibly bright yellow checkered pants with a black tee with matching yellow like designs on it, you know, long hair out. And Valiant is dressed like some sort of cafe hipster in like just a beanie and hipster glasses and just deck tonight. So we did not fit in at all. And we'd go up there and be like, hey, who wants to see some wrestling? And they look at us like, we're fucking insane. And we got a lot of that, you aren't from here. I'm like, no, we aren't from here. Wrestling? So that was a ton of fun. And there was a lot of sell of like, hey, you're at a real sporting event. How about some fake sports? Here's a pamphlet. Do you want to see this guy get hit with a chair? Pamphlet. So hopefully it works. It was a bit of fun. And then I went to a wrestling show last night up in Ferntree Gully, which was World Series Wrestling. I got to see a couple of AEW wrestlers and ex-WWE wrestlers, which was a ton of fun. People that I would probably never see again. So that was a ton of fun. It brings me here. And Padge, Paul James Games in the chat, jumps in and goes, I did such a bad job as co-host last week that he wouldn't let me in this time. Incorrect, Padge. I did consider reaching out to Padge when Max hit me up this morning, but knowing that obviously Padge and his two little ones and his partner, I don't want to give a late notice and be like, hey, look, I'm in like X amount of hours, you free? Because normally we have to give Paul like weeks in advance notice because he's just so busy with all the things that he does and being the massive games media presence that he is. You know, we have to book it in. I normally have to go through his assistant, which is sometimes fun. Look, they're not the most reliable at getting me back with emails and stuff, and I do normally have to call, and I try to avoid going through to Padge directly, just to, you know, I got to respect the process, got to respect the path. But, you know, I thought today, I'm like, you know what? We'll let him take the night, even though he ended up recording a podcast anyway, as he does. Oh, for fuck's sake, says Paul James Games. That's right. Just increase the narrative for no reason. Is there anything else I played this week? There is another game that I'm playing that I can't talk about yet. If you want to talk about things that make me happy, but, ooh, this game is on that list. And can't talk about it yet, though. Can't talk about it yet. I'm very excited to talk about it one day. Yeah. Good times. But other than that, yeah, I don't think I played anything else. Let me have a think. Did I? No? Yeah, no. Pretty much just Outriders, this other game, and Hello Neighbor. That was about it. I'm pretty sure I didn't touch anything else. If I did, it would have been surface level at best. But yeah, Outriders was the one I And Paul James is correct. I do need to thank his assistant for coming up with that game that I can't talk about just yet. But if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be playing it. So big ups to Paul James Games PA. All right, now before we get into the main show, this is where I do the promo pitch, but I'm not going to change the screen because I only just built this one. I didn't build a second one to promote the pod. The Manscaped, I just lazy. Flashy ZA, how are you? Thank you for jumping in the chat. Let's do some promo time. This is the part that I shill about the company that we work with, which is Manscaped. Now, look, even if you are sitting here on your sitting around on your lonesome like I am right now, doesn't mean you can't keep your front area clean and tidy, even by yourself. Just having the confidence of looking down and going, yeah, that's pretty rad, is massive. Like, as a massive, well, bold claim there, right? Look, point I'm making, even if you don't have a partner to impress, even if you're not going to whip your shit out at some event, or don't do that for anyone, you know, you're Tindering or you're Hinging or you're Bumbling or you're sending your dick to fucking developers on the Twitters, which you should be doing anyway, trim your shit. Manscaped. So you can join the 4 million men worldwide using Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming, and their fourth generation print performance package to get your jungle under control by going to au.manscaped.com for 20% off plus free worldwide shipping if you use the code FTP. Now, as we've talked about before, Manscaped does have that performance package, which comes with it's considered the essentials, right? Comes with the Lawnmower 4.0. That's for your body hair, for your front, your back, your pits, your arms. I use it to trim my face, not after I've done the other parts, of course, but I use it to keep my shitty beard trimmed. Like, I don't have the luxury of growing a lot of facial hair, so it just kind of gets gross and gets really disgusting, so the shaver keeps me tidy. There's the nose and hair trimmer, the weed whacker, get up in the air, which Max loves because he is an old man already, apparently, and has small hedges lodged within his face holes. Then, of course, there's the crop preserver ball deodorant and the crop reviver toner, a set of the performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold it all in if you're off gallivanting, doing what you do in the daily, and you need to keep your shit clean and tidy. There's advantages to that lawnmower, but it has the advanced skin-safe technology, so you ain't gonna rip your shit up. It has a 4000K LED spotlight on it, so it helps you trim it in the dark. It's waterproof, so while you're in the shower, showers have a lot of lighting, you can still see what you're doing. But one of the other things that they do as well is, if that's the essentials, the next step is the premium, ultra premium collection. So even though you've got your stuff all trimmed up, you're feeling good, you're looking good, you can smell good too. So by using that collection, you get shampoo, body wash, moisturizer, deodorant, everything that you need to smell amazing. So that way you're not sitting there by yourself any longer, like me. I smell amazing right now because of the Manscaped, but I'm still sitting by myself. Not a whole lot I can do. And of course, there is their brand new boxes 2.0, as they call them. Has a dual pouch. It's a pouch designed to cradle your nads, all nice and snuggly. And it comes in a range of sizes, range of designs. It's mad. They're very, very comfy. I'm not wearing them today. I only got one pair. They sent me one. I didn't need to order some more, but they are fantastic. But of course, you can jump on that Manscaped by heading over to au.manscaped.com/FTP and use the promo code, au.manscaped.com, use the promo code FTP, get yourself 20% off and free worldwide shipping. FTP, au.manscaped.com, promo FTP, done. Chilling out of the way. Boom. Let's get into the section we call in the form of the players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, I have intentionally made a grabby title for the episode this week. You're seeing up there, God of War Ragnarok, fans will be disappointed, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But there's a reason I'm talking about God of War this week, and that is because the release date has been announced after what feels like literally forever. Like Ragnarok, it's the end of all things. It's just like, it just wasn't coming, it just wasn't happening, but it has officially been announced. It did drop on the PlayStation blog of all things around Wednesday night our time. Along with the new Father and Son trailer, Father and Son cinematic trailer, as well as a showing of the collector's edition. It was announced that the 9th of November is when Ragnarok begins. Pre-orders for these collector's editions will go live on Friday, the 10 a.m. in Australian local time. There was two versions. There was the collector's edition and the Jotnar edition, which we talked about last week from the rumors of Tom Henderson. It does come with a 16-inch replica of Thor's hammer Mjolnir, as well as, depending on which version you get get two little wooden statues that sort of nicely go alongside Brock and Sindri one from the collector edition of the previous game. It comes with a steel book that's nicely matching design to the first one, so it sits nicely together. The Jotnar edition comes, it comes with a dice set, a dwarven dice set in the collectors, Brock's dice set in the Jotnar, as well as a 7-inch vinyl of some music from the game, which as I have the vinyl record for the main music from the first game from Bear McCreary. I'm fucking in. I want that vinyl. Comes the ring as well. And yeah, the big honking hammer is the thing that I want the most. So for me, what am I getting? I'm trying to get that Jotnar edition. I am ready to go at 10 a.m. on Friday. I'm going to have multiple windows open because I need that. I need that bad. As everyone knows, I'm an incredibly massive fan of God of War 2018. Like, it is by far, like, second to Harvest Moon Back to Nature on PS1 is my favorite game of all time. I've talked about how it's, for me, it came at just the right time. It's about father and son, which is, I've got a 5-year-old son. So anything that hits those storylines for me is a big win, right? So I am just 100% invested. The whole father and son trailer had this lovely little to and fro between Kratos and Atreus, and so, like, the whole idea is about them fighting together, which is what I love. And before everything went down in my life, I said my split from my ex-wife in November, I had booked in March a tattoo, and it was going to be here on my arm. It was a Kratos with a shield and Atreus poking me on the other side with an arrow cocked in the thing with the symbology of I am there to protect you, but we will fight together. Was sort of the main idea, which is how I want to be with my son. Because God of War 2018, as I talked about last week, I've mentioned here numerous times, it hit me in such a way because I have a lot of things that I'm not happy with about myself, not proud about myself, mistakes and challenges that I've had in the past that I don't want my son to experience. I have a lot of shame in who I am and just guilt in general, just because it's how my brain works, which was very mirrored in Kratos. And then him having to share that information, to be vulnerable, to open up to his son and not to lift that fear that he will become me. Because that's Kratos' greatest fear. By Atreus knowing that he's a god, he would worry that he would take the same path that he did and everything would go shit. And you know, he's trying to hide from his past, and we see that whole thing with, you know, Athena, stuff like that. No spoilers. So for me, it means a lot. Like, the game, I love it as much as anyone can love a game. I love God of War, so I'm very excited for God of War Ragnarok, and especially with the trailer being around father and son, like, they're hitting all the beats that I need for me to really want to get into this game. But catchy headline. This is where I'm getting at in terms of the title of this episode. So, fans will be disappointed in God of War Ragnarok. I can see it right now. I'm feeling it within my loins. I myself will be happy, but I can see they're collectively being a challenge. Now, as I said, we're live on Twitch right now. As I'm doing the show by myself, that chat is open. If anyone is watching, they're more than welcome to jump in with their thoughts, counteract my opinion, throw in your own. I'd love to hear it. My theory is they'll be disappointed. A couple of reasons. Last time we saw gameplay for God of War, the narrative around it was that they're using the same assets. It's just the same game again. And I think that is the narrative that will come through. We saw that narrative with Horizon Forbidden West. You know, there's a lot of reused assets and animations for the game, and as a result people kind of pooed on it unnecessarily, and there seems to be this kind of like shit on PlayStation bent right now. I know what's going on with that. I'm the only one to notice it. I've noticed with other podcasts as well, and expectations are incredibly high, so trying to back God of War 2018, no matter what they do, they're already behind. In that, before coming into 2018, everyone had no expectations of what God of War was going to be. They're like, oh, it's rebooting it. Why? That whole fucking DMC-inspired, you know, slashing angry man yells at Cloud, but Cloud is full of Zeus and Dad. How's that going to be relevant and rebooted? So, Yeah, there's expectation. But for me, all those things are void. Shut the fuck up is where I sit. Because as Jordan in the chat says, that's how games work. Think about it this way, right? Think about some of the most pivotal games that you played on the PS2, I should say. God of War, Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and San Andreas. If you look at it, those games are all carbon copies of each other with different skins. No one had a complaint. Right now, everyone's like, San Andreas is fucking amazing. Vice City's fucking amazing. Is anyone going to have any issue with the fact that they pretty much rebuilt the game? Or they just took the game and reskinned it and added new mission, like reworked it all? But I mean, from a fundamental development standpoint, they just used the same thing. That was what was done back in the day. It's been done for the longest time. So this sudden expectation that sequels have to be completely rebuilt is insane. Right now, everyone's like, why aren't games coming out fast enough? Because the development teams have this pressure on them to meet this bullshit expectation where they have to just maximize it every time. Hence why we're getting 5 years between games, which is financially not the best thing for the studio themselves. It's not great for us as the consumers, as we have to wait a stack of time. And then it just chews and it's gross. So previously we were getting like 3 or 4 games from the same studio in the one console generation. We'll be lucky to get 2 from the same people. Like, to me, everyone needs to calm the fuck down, right? With this constant pressure that anything that's under a 9 is literally useless, needs to fuck off. It really, really does. Like, there are games that don't have to be perfect. They can still be really good. They don't have to have, you know, unnecessary, like, Aloy's fucking face fuzz or every blade of grass, every grain of sand, everything has to be completely whatevered. Nah, it's fine. God of War Ragnarok is essentially what I believe is essentially what a bigger version of Spider-Man Miles Morales, a bigger version of Infamous First Light. It's that. It was supposed to be an extended DLC because they've talked about this as well. The director at the time had said, you know, we extended it. We realized that what we wanted to do was bigger in scope, allegedly, and we expanded the game accordingly. But it was supposed to be a shorter experience in the same way that Miles Morales is just a shorter experience of what Spider-Man made. And everyone fucking loves Miles Morales. And if you go back to what Sean Layden said before he stepped out of PlayStation, where games would take too long, they'd cost too much money. Shorter, fucking cooler, tighter experience. He didn't say fucking. I wish he did. Sean Layden was pretty fun. But like, that's what it needs to be. And I think some of his initiatives before he left were that. It was Miles Morales. It was God of War Ragnarok. And I'm sure there may have been others where they haven't seen the light of day yet. It could happen. So hence my point. People, the collective right now, are already negative going into God of War. And if for some reason it is not the best game in ever of all existence, people will be sad. And they'll go, nyeh, and it'll get 7s and 8s. Look, I still personally think the game's going to be fucking fantastic. I expect to play it, cry my face out, and just have a really good time because I'm going to connect so hard with Atreus, and I'm going to connect so hard with Kratos and the world and their connection as father and son that I'll probably look past some stuff. Like, admittedly, I probably even, like, when I rate God of War 2018 as a perfect game for me, I love it dearly, I love it endlessly, everything about it is perfect to me. I'm guaranteed I'm overlooking some stuff. Like, the hub world where you've got to, you know, fucking run in circles until the game decides to load. That's a bit shit. I don't care. I fucking loved it. I love all that game. So whatever they deliver me here, I'm going to be stoked with. But yeah, people are going to be shitty. And then they'll just, you know, because for some reason, tribalism has doubled down across the world in general, and especially within the game space. Like, I thought it was bad when I was growing up about the whole PlayStation versus Xbox stuff, but I feel it's gotten so much heavier. Especially on the back of Game Pass and sort of even with PS Plus and what that's become and all these other different things. I don't know. Am I talking on my ass? Sure. But like, if people want sequels to games, if people want more games, if they want to continue playing games in in series that they love and they look, I don't want to wait too long. Expect smaller experiences. Expect it to not be as intensely made as it is. Because an example using Spider-Man, this is pulling from another pod I was listening to. They talked about how Insomniac are really good at building the game in such a way that the parts that you need to pay attention to are awesome. Everything else is passable. It's pretty good. Like as Spider-Man, what you need to focus on is swinging and the fighting and the momentum. But the buildings themselves, when you're fucking fanging through them, they could look like shit for all you care because you were just going hard. You were just moving. And is a lot of the swinging animations between Miles and Peter near on the same? Yeah, because they just reskinned that game, essentially. Added tweaks and changes and whatever. But fundamentally, it's the exact same game. Did they rebuild New York for Miles Morales? No, they just added snow on it and it's a new map. It's the old way of making games. And if we keep moving forward, if Trent, like, you know, back in the day, I'm not saying I should go back to the PS1 days where you'd get a sequel to a game in like 12 months, 18 months. That's unrealistic, especially now, because that is where you get subpar games and really cash in shitty sequels. I don't want that. PS2, you're getting probably 3-ish years, right, between games. That's doable. That's fine. It's not too gnarly. Where we're getting now, 5 years, 7 years. Like, does this extrapolate further as games get more demanding? Everyone's like, well, we need fucking 4K 60. Everything must look better than I can see in the real world with my real eyes. That's the only minimum that I will ever ask for and I'll ever accept. Otherwise, it gets a fucking 5 because no one really knows how to score games properly. That's why scoring games is shit. That's what's going to happen. And then all it's going to do is burn out teams, burn you out as players. It's just going to build in this, continue to support this entitlement, continue to burn out this fucking frustration as we sit there and wait. And then, as Jerd in the chat says, it leads to more remasters. Because, yeah, these studios need to make money in between these big games, so they rehash old shit. Why are we getting so many remasters and whatever? Because they need to make money. They need to fund that big fucking thing. And because game prices have gone up, look, they're $120-something, $130 here in Australia. That's fucked. That's a lot of money. But it's this weird balance where, like, you got to pay for it. Like, you can't expect massive and not going to pay. And if we look at, like, the subscription model, yeah, there's money. Not as much money as buying the game. I mean, there really isn't. Like, because that $8 or whatever you pay, or fuck, if it's Xbox Game Pass, that $1 that you pay, where's that going? It goes to Xbox, obviously, Microsoft. It goes to paying the licenses for other games that have to be on the service because you've got to keep that service refilled, update, you know, and roll on as people get bored and bounce out. So that's all about bringing new games in. Just, it's not even breaking even. So I got to give a fuck about Microsoft's financials. I don't care. For me, I care about the development side, because if they're not making money on subscription services, well, then how else do they make their money? They make 17 versions of the game, like the deluxe, the digital, like the big fuck off edition, the gigantic fuck off edition. Insane, right? I was like, why is there so many editions? Why is every game full of microtransactions? Why are NFTs making their way into games? Because they need to make the money to make up this gap in this massive production for these games. If they didn't have to have the scope so large, they could reduce that development time and they could cut out half that shit. They won't, because the games industry is shit, and rather than make some money, they'll want to make all the money. But it could reduce that pressure for them to have to go down those paths. So when you're not looking at the likes of Ubisoft or, you know, Activision, these publishers, that their entire, like, they don't give up about the artistic vision of the game. For them, it is solely about the money in. So if you can find ways to alleviate that expenditure, then they have less, they don't have to find those pressures to make revenue. Look, I'm not no business fucking insider. I'm a moron. But, like, that's how I see it anyway. And I'm expecting bad for PlayStation because of it. Let's have a look. So in the chat, Paul James Gaveson goes, nah, expectations are too high. You feel like people can only be disappointed at this point. Yeah, he's bang on. Through right before. Let's go have a quick drink. Jerd, with Last of Us Part 2 reuse more assets rather than added extended Cord Simulator minigame? Like, cool, that's a new feature. Like, they can't say we didn't make a new feature. It used to be like 5 fucking 10 minutes. Whoever's a person that had to sit there and spend hundreds and hundreds of hours doing this extension lead thing, that, why? Didn't change anything, didn't affect the game. It was like, oh, that's cool physics. That was about it. Paul James loves that peach fuzz. And Jared says, honestly, they could cut some of the playtime. So many games are inflated. Give me a succinct story, neat and non-bloated. Bang on. This exception, this belief that game time is equal to value is insane. Like, yeah, when I was 15 and I had the time of my life and I could spend 200 hours on a game, I would. But I'm fucking old, man. I'm an old man. Like, I can't spend that much time on a game. But if you can give me a 30-hour, really fucking kick-ass game that isn't never-ending in the same way that, like, Assassin's Creed Valhalla just fucking doesn't finish. But, like, that doesn't mean you can't have games of service, because there is a market for them. People love them. Look at Max. When he's not being sick and can't record this show, he lives in Destiny. He lives in, you know, like Rocket League. And that's for him. That's perfect. So I'm not saying take them away. They can coexist. You can have shorter, awesome, and succinct, as Jared put it, experiences that aren't bloated, but also have these big games to support that. In the same way that what I believe Sony's doing moving forward is they are going to have these games as a service titles that will help bolster the other games. So while you have Valkyrie, Haven, etc., building these games, you come over to what Sucker Punch are doing, what Naughty Dog are doing, what Insomniac are doing. They're going to continue to deliver the single player experience that you want, but have the financial support of these multiplayer games, so you don't have to have microtransactions. You don't have to do all this extra bullshit. And that's just where I see anyway. Jared says, but we need 8 Avatar games. Padge also adds, Sean Layden became fun. He was a wet blanket early on, but really open later on. Hashtag fuck Jim Ryan. Look, that's the thing. This is a whole other side discussion around Sean Layden versus Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan is a businessman. He's running a business. No faults there. But he tries to market himself like he's with it and he gets it and he plays games. Like, I'm not saying you have to play games to be a fucking CEO of a gaming company, but it helps. Especially from a public relations, like from someone looking at you going, are you legit? Yeah. But like, I don't expect him to, I spent 40 hours this weekend playing this. No, he's old. He's a businessman. He's got other things to do. So I don't need Jim Ryan's fucking gaming credentials. But with Sean Layden, when he talks about the art of games, he genuinely gave a shit. Because he talked about games that you, like, passionately, that no one gives a fuck about, but he cares. So you can understand that he cared. He just had something in him that cared for games as an art form rather than just an avenue to make money. Jared paid $110 for Sapris Tennis on PS1. Ooh, I remember paying $100 for Resident Evil 4 on PS2. Back in the day, from Games Wizards in Traralgon. So yeah, games have been that expensive before, and it's fascinating that in 15 years, game prices can still be the same. But the cost to make a game has skyrocketed, which is crazy. But anyways, yeah, God of War Ragnarok, I'm excited. My birthday, 6th of November, game comes out on the 9th. I'm considering this a birthday present. I can't wait. And that has me excited. So I want that. I'm going to have it. I'm going to get that Yacht Nar edition. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take a day off. I'm going to play it. I'm going to cry. But yeah, we will no doubt have a big review discussion here on the show, as we do, because it's obviously pushing first party and a game that I care about. In terms of, like, you know, we'll do our very best to play games that we may not care about as much, but the nature of what we do, it's personality driven. It's about Max. It's about me. And we play the games that we fucking love. Simple as that. So I'm very excited. Oh, the Reverend Puck in the chat goes, I brought a Virtual Boy at launch. Where's my pain? So much pain. Bold strategy, Cotton. But there you go. You live and you learn. You live and you learn. All right. That's it. Actually, one thing I want to discuss before we jump into the next part. When it comes to the collector's edition of God of War, there's a bit of beef around it coming with no game. It's like, it comes with a game, but it comes with no disc, just comes with a card. Also, Flashy says balls. That's right, Flashy, balls. Price of games, balls. for me, what it makes sense. Why release two versions? Because the thing they're going to have, right? The challenge they're going to have is they're going to have to essentially make two SKUs. PS5 SKU, PS4 SKU. So let's just pull numbers out of my butthole. Let's say they're going to make 10 million collector's editions. Right? Not going to make that many. Not going to happen. But previously, we know there's X amount of PS5s in the market. We have X amount of PS4s. So that technically there's like X times PS4s compared to PS5. So do we make 2 million PS5 versions and 8 million PS4 versions? But as we want to transition people to PS5, do we go down the middle? Is it 5 and 5? Do we prioritize PS5 over PS4? Because that's the future. It's not what we want to do. Who fucking cares? Just make... Because especially with this codes that can deliver both versions of the game, one PS5, one PS4, why not just make fucking 10 million of the same one? It does, like, the game itself doesn't change. It's just on a different disc. Okay. Now, something I learned about this week as well, it's very possible that it's because the game discs aren't printed yet. And they won't be printed in time. It's very likely the game will go gold a couple of weeks out before even release date. So they can preload the codes because that's fucking piss easy to do. But in order to print all the game, like, because they can't then box out the collector's editions and send them out because they've got to wait for the disc to be printed and packed and put in the box and then put all the boxes on the boats and send them out to wherever they got to be. Where when you can do that in advance and then just have these codes that are already made and just activate them. Like, just tick a box, 10 million cones activated. To me, that makes so much more sense. I understand people are all like, but physical games, man, like, it's all... Yeah, that's totally true. And I feel you, and I get you. What would be even better way to do it is if they make the game, they make the collector's edition, but it doesn't have the game in it. Just consider it like a fucking bundled extra. 10 million cones, eh? Oh, 10 million cones would be nice. Whoa. As an example, Red Dead, you can't see it, it's just off camera there, but Red Dead Redemption 2, it didn't have a collector's edition, but there was that box, and it had the cool tin box, and it came with like the catalog, and a bandana, and some cards, and all this shit that you would get in a collector's edition, but it was sold separately. Why? Because that collection of assorted shit was console neutral. It didn't matter what console or platform you were playing Red Dead 2 on, you could still buy all that shit. That's actually a better business model, really. So you just like, then the collector's edition of what God of War would be is just $70 cheaper. It's $120 Australian cheaper. That is how you do it. So if you want just the cool shit, rad. If you still want that physical copy of the game, rad. If you want a digital copy instead, fucking rad. It ticks all the boxes. That is how you do it. Right? Everyone that gets shitty about it, I don't get, you know. Yes, look, I'm really sorry. Digital is the future. It really is. I live in Australia. Our internet's trash. But physical games are getting done. Like, I still appreciate physical games because they're always cheaper than digital. The sales are getting better. But, like, fuck playing $120 on release day, Australian dollary dues, when you can get it for, like, $89 or whatever. Like, if anything, it's actually going to work out cheaper for you if they separate it from the collector's edition. 100%. Because you're then not paying $120. You're paying fucking $80. And then you, whatever the rest of the collector's edition, you're going to come out spending less money. That is the thing. But instead, you just get a code for a PS5 and a PS4 version. You know, because say if you have a PS4 now, but you want, you know, for some reason, you haven't got a PS5 yet, which baffles me, by the way. Living in my own little bubble of having a PS5 since day one. But you're now booked for the future. You're going to have a PS5 version ready to go. If you bought a PS4 disc version, you can't put that in your PS5 now, can you? And get the PS5 version? You could, but they're not going to do it. They're going to charge you. If you buy a PS5 version, you don't have a PS5 yet, well, you can't play it. Bummer, right? So if they don't have that free, if they don't have that upgrade path, you just have a useless fucking PS4 disc. At least this is something like that. Moving on. It's 10 million cones does sound fantastic, by the way. I hope you're enjoying the solo show, by the way. I feel like I've just ranted for 25 minutes, but there you go. All right, PlayStation news in general. The PS Essential games are out. They're out live right now. That's Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, The Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan, and Arcade Again. They are going. They're ready to party. But in terms of your PS Plus extra games that are coming, by the looks, a Reset Era poster named Black Bait, who in the past has been spot on with their leaks, they have dropped the following titles that are coming to the extra tier. So if you have in America, it is Essential, Extra, and Premium. Here in Australia, it's Essential, Extra, and Deluxe. So for your extra and above, you will be getting, potentially, according to this leak, the following games in the next month. That is Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrated plus the Episode Intermission, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, Assassin's Creed Unity, Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, Assassin's Creed the Ezio Collection, Saints Row 4 Re-Elected. I'm pretty sure Saints Row 4 is already in there, which is weird. And Stray, which we already knew about. So a little disappointing for the first month of updated, seeing as it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Four Assassin's Creed games. So if you like Assassin's Creed, fucking success for you. But if you don't, that's a bit poo. Final Fantasy VII is a huge win if you've never not played it. I'm not a big Final Fantasy guy myself, but the game is rad. It looks amazing. It plays really good. So if you're interested in Final Fantasy and it's there and you've not played it for whatever reason, now's a good time. I said Saints Row. Okay, positive it's already on there. Saints Row 3 might already be on there. I don't know. That weirded me out. In the same way that I could have sworn Crash Bandicoot It's About Time has already been a PS Plus game. Maybe I'm wrong. And as Paul in the chat goes, and if you like Assassin's Creed, then you probably have them already. You sure do. Like, I'm not going to play Black Flag. I ain't going to play Unity. Unity was botched. I didn't like it. Freedom Cry? I don't know what that is. The Ezio Collection? Yeah, Ezio is pretty cool, but alright, like 2 and Brotherhood and Revelations. Is 3 on there? I'd play 3. The American Revolution one looked pretty sweet. I never played it. You know why? Because every Assassin's Creed game's the same. I'm not loving it. So the idea of 7 of the same game that are stupid long and that are all the same? No, thank you. Not for me. Stray, though. I am keen as a bean for Stray. I'm super keen. I did see an article today on Push Square that you have to pat the cat like 1,000 times to sort of get the platinum, which is the trophy for it, I presume, which is mad. Just pat the cat. Oh, no, make the cat meow, I should say. My apologies. You make the cat meow 1,000 times, you get yourself a trophy. So you need it to get the platinum. Rad. Puck confirms, as Reverend Puck is our resident expert, jumps in with the facts and corrects us as we record, which I much appreciate. Freedom Cry was a PSP game, which is rad. Once again, in the same way that there's that PSP game that is on the service now, it just looks weird, upscaled on a big TV. PS5 firmware update. There was a PS5. Fuck, my strain kicked in real hard then. A PS5 update this week. Of course, it does hit all the beats with the system software improves system performance, but it did also bring in support for an ultra low latency mode. So if your TV does happen to support like a game mode, or what most commonly referred to as a game mode in your TV, or an ultra low latency, if you have this little toggle ticked on, when your PS5, fuck, I keep saying 4, then 5. When your PS5 boots up, it'll actually tell your TV to go into game mode. So that's pretty handy. So say when you watch regular TV or any other input, you like say you're a big movie buff and you want it to be like that cinema mode or a movie mode where all the colors are like whatever. But of course, that does come with an input delay. When you jump over to your PS5, press a button. So you didn't have to press the button, just turn on your PS5. It boots up. It's ready to party. There you go. Dunskies. Oh, correction in the chat from Padge. No, it wasn't a PSP game. It was an expansion to Black Flag. Liberation was a PS Vita game, and Bloodline was the PSP game. Well, there you go. Okay, so it was an expansion for Black Flag. All right, cool. Once again, not for me. Thank you for the correction there, Padge. Feel no shame, Puck. There's 70,000... I'm exaggerating. Look, there's 47 Assassin's Creed games. It's understandable why they get mixed up, because they're all the same. And Paul James Games does have a boner for Assassin's Creed. We'll talk about a bit more Ubisoft in just a moment. And there's been a patent that's popped up this week. A patent that's called, quote, systems and methods for converting a legacy code into an updated code, end quote. Could have workshopped that name a little bit. Not quite snazzy, but, you know, there's things you can work on. AC means Animal Crossing. It could also mean AC, like alternate current, as in maybe you're a bit of an electrician, maybe you're a bit of an electricity buff. Maybe you're a fan of heating and cooling. It could be an air conditioner. Maybe you're an air conditioner repair enthusiast. A number of different things. I know you're fucking with me. I'm fucking with you back. So within this patent of poorly named patent, it contained within it as an image that appears to show a way of emulating software that used peripheral devices like your PlayStation Eye, your PSP Go, your PlayStation Mouse, a DualShock, original DualShock, the Sony Media Remote, and a PlayStation Move Wand through a what's called a legacy card reader. Okay. Now, I understand this is probably cool. If we go along the lines of, you know, Sony... PlayStation specifically have been pretty consistent in dismissing the past and not sort of giving two shits about backwards compatibility, etc., etc. This is good in a way, but like if they're supporting some of these PS2 games or PS3 titles within this new PS Plus system, the tiered structure, cool. You may have a platform to support those peripherals, which is great. How does this work for fucking Guitar Hero and Rock Band gear? Okay, well, that's a bit different, right? But iToy, that resolution is like, what, 180p or something nonsense? Why the fuck would you want to use that? Are you going to go out of your way to play an iToy game? Probably not. PlayStation Mouse, that's pretty cool. Sony Media Remote, I have one right now, and it works just fine. I don't have to worry about, like, dicking about with it. It just works. But yeah, so it depends whether this is done just to secure the IP, secure the intellectual property around this patent is delivering, because people patent stuff all the time. Whether it's going to ever use it or not, big different story. But it all comes down to that. Like I really wanted, a PSP Go. Okay, cool. Once again, it all comes down to that preservation and how they want to do it. Second last bit of news. It's quite weak this week. And I've also been talking a very long time by myself. I'm going to do almost a longer show by myself than I would have done if Max was here. He kind of keeps me in check. Ubisoft, they had a presentation this week called Ubisoft Forward, as they've been naming them for a while. So Ubisoft has announced that it'll have a digital showcase my apologies. It didn't happen last week. I'm getting too much information mixed up. They are going to have one on the 10th of September. It'll be on YouTube, Twitch, etc. And it will have updates and news on multiple games and projects from around the world for the Ubisoft teams. And it has already been confirmed that there will be an Assassin's Creed event in September, but it's unclear whether the event is in question is the newly announced Ubisoft Forward or it's something separate. But it's very likely we'll be seeing new Assassin's Creed in September. Say you've been playing all these PS Plus extra Assassin's Creed games and you're all boned up and you're like super keen to dive into the next one. Cool. It's very possible we'll see Prince of Persia, I presume. As you know, that's back in active development as a return to Ubisoft Montreal, I believe, after being taken from the Ubisoft Indian team. So that might come back, as I believe that's back in hard active development again, even though it was given an indefinite delay. Additionally, we'll likely see the Division Heartlands, which was that free-to-play game that was meant to be coming to consoles, sort of an interstitial from the Division, something like that. So that'd be pretty cool to play. Flashy ZA says, Prince of Persia is back. Shock face. Well, yeah. So they're remaking Prince of Persia Sands of Time, the PS3 game. It was announced 2-ish years ago. It then went dead quiet. And then out of nowhere, they were like, it's delayed indefinitely because it's fucked. It's mighty fucked. They didn't say that. They implied that it was fucked. So they pulled it from them and said, look, it's indefinitely delayed. We'll never know when this is going to come out. And then it changed teams, and hopefully it comes out. Which is, the beauty is that it's going to the team that originally made it back on the PS2. Not PS3, I said the PS3 before PS2. On the PS2. So that's pretty rad. That's going back to the OG team in the same way that I guess The Last of Us Remake went back to Naughty Dog. You know, that's not a bad thing. I guess even Final Fantasy VII Remake went from a team to another team. It, normally when development changes teams, you probably should be worried, and you should be, because it means we're so fucked that it had to go back to someone else's hands, but potentially it might work positively here, which would be pretty cool. Flash, I last played that as a child. I haven't played it since the PS2. I do have the trilogy, so the Two Princes and Warrior Within in a triple pack for PS3. It's PS Prince of Persia Collection. It's on the shelf over there. And I picked up a mate of mine. Haven't played it. I should though. But yeah, so Heartlands is probably going to be the Division game. I love the Division, so I'm pretty keen for whatever that is. There's that rumor mill for a while about, will we see a Tom Clancy game? Like, no, probably not. I'm sorry. I don't think we'll see a new Far Cry. Far Cry will be quiet for a little while, I think. Far Cry 6 did, you know, obviously coming out last year. They tend to have a multiple year dev cycle, so it won't be for a little while. Rayman is an option. Probably not. What else does Ubisoft make? They pretty much become a Far Cry Assassin's Creed studio from what I remember. So other guns, I guess. Might not have any of those UbiArt games that we'd seen previously. But one game that we'll finally be seeing, Skull and Bones. Talking about boners before, here we go, Skull and Bones. After what feels like actual lifetimes, Skull and Bones finally has a release date. It is coming out on the 8th of November. If you are Skull and Bones, because everyone's going to buy that over God of War the next day. You know, here they probably were thinking, oh, fuck, thank Christ, you know, Starfield, it's pushed into next year. Whew, November's open. Let's jump in. Bad call, bros. Bad call. Because you're on the 8th, then on the 9th, you got God of War Ragnarok. Good night, gentle prince, says Padge, and you're absolutely bang on. It's fucking going to die. Like, they had to release the game, but it's also there. And it was only becoming a PS5, no PS4. So they're going to hamper their sales even more, I guess. Bold strategy, Cottons. Not going to work in their favor. but it did also come with a gameplay trailer. And it's fair to say the title does look very involved. So as you would expect, the goal of the game is to become the ocean's most infamous pirate. And getting there means you have to explore the high seas, plunder cargo, so you can upgrade your ship and your crew's abilities. But in typical Ubisoft fashion, Skull and Bones is clearly designed to keep you playing as long as possible. So expect microtransactions, expect boosters, expect leveled areas, expect to be just completely swindled in the same way that Assassin's Creed Origins, Valhalla, and Odyssey did. Jerdman, Sea of Thieves with Atlas. I think that's kind of the situation. Like, it's going to be... Apparently, this was originally built on the idea of what we saw in Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which is cool. Apparently, the Black Flag sea combat, naval combat was, you know, two thumbs up. Fuck yeah. But, A, there's been, like, 7, you know, Assassin's Creed games since then, and some of them have had naval combat, or at least boats. Like, I know, obviously, Valhalla had a big one with those Viking boats, and then there's those reed ones in Odyssey, and Origin, and they had those Greek/Roman, I forget, I think it's Roman boats in Odyssey. Okay, cool. It's been done. And then, as mentioned, Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves is out there still going right now. The big difference here is that Sea of Thieves is a very, what looks to be a very different game to what Skull and Bones are going to deliver. You know, Sea of Thieves, it's very kiddie, it's cartoon, it's kiddie in aesthetic, it's very soft, it's very cartoon heavy. It's not going to look as realistic as what presumably Skull and Bones will be. And that also does mean that, you know, it's going to be probably a bit more of an intense experience. Especially on the back of Sea of Thieves, which doesn't have leveling. It doesn't have, like, it has cosmetics, but there is, like, you cannot pay your way to victory in Sea of Thieves. You can buy cool shit to make your boat look cooler, and that's it. You know that Skull and Bones is going to be to the teeth in microtransactions. Not just for making your ship look cool, not just for character upgrades, but for everything. Boosts, advantages, time skips, everything that we've seen in the last couple of Assassin's Creed games, it's going to come here. And I guarantee you it won't have the same fun of Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves fucking rocks. I love Sea of Thieves. Skull and Bones will not deliver. It is going out to a poorly time. It's going to get demolished. It's going to sink. It's going to go down to Davy Jones's locker, and it's going to be hard because with the length of time this game's been in development, it's going to want to make its money back. So they're going to pump that fucking thing with micros. Joe Man says worrying that they only showed the exact same style of mission during the showcase. Yeah, so the new gameplay trailer is what they showed back then, and you know I haven't. Like, I saw bits of it, but I was like, it looked the same to me. Like, if they showed a similar mission, but it looks better, it plays different or whatever, then that's okay. But to me, it looks bang on identical, and that don't impress me much, as Shania Twain would say. All right, that's all the main news out of the way. Let's get into those quick bits, and we can send this bastard home, as I literally have recorded a show that is just as long as if I had Max. But I have nonstop talked for just over an hour now, and that's intense. It proves anything that I can talk my way out of anything, which is fantastic. I've got some super massive games news. Not super massive, as in just massive news, just the studio. The next release in the Dark Pictures Anthology is coming this year. It is titled The Devil in Me. Has a really cool collector's edition, like an animatronic head, like a zombie-looking head. So it looks like they're going down the zombie horror sort of angle here, with each of the games in the Dark Pictures Anthology having a different theme. So the first game being very ghostly horror, with the sort of ghost ship, unlike the movie Ghost Ship of the first, with Man of Medan. Little Hope was very Blair Witch and sort of Silent Hilly. Then you had House of Ashes, which was very much a creature feature in that it was very Predator. You had this sort of ominous monster chasing you around for a while. So that played a big part into that one. But yeah, this looks to be a bit more of that zombie horror, or at least some sort of supernaturally horror in that sense. That's pretty cool. I'm down for that. The Quarry multiplayer mode has finally gone live, and it does have they've taken essentially what the It Takes Two did, with you get a code and your friends can play. Similar here, in that one person has to have the game. You can share it to a bunch of people and they jump in with a code or whatever, and you as the main holder of the game selects the choices, kind of, but everyone can vote. It's all done by vote and voting and stuff as well. So, you know, everyone has to buy a copy of the game. Big thumbs up, which is, it's a bummer because the game's great. It's pretty good. Like, I will also add the review chat is still coming. I know I've said this for like fucking 6 weeks now, but I was waiting on Cat from Hear Us Scream to roll credits on it. I believe they have done that this week, so we should be able to jump on that soon, which is exciting. Hopefully I can record that this week. But yeah, multiplayer should be mad. Okay, especially for streamers like Jerd in the chat. I imagine we will be seeing them be playing the Quarry with his incredible Jerdville community. Go check him out, twitch.tv/Jerdman, fellow man tranker, man ambassador. Go check them out. But I think, yeah, that'd be a great way, certainly in that streaming space, aside from the streamer music for the Quarry being hard butthole, should be a bit of fun for those people. Holy shit. So last week, or the week before, we reported that Fall Guys has had an incredibly impressive 20 million players since going free to play and cross-platform. That number has since been updated. They have now blown past 50 million players. Massive. Forspoken has been delayed again. It is on its third release date and will be coming out the back end of January, January 24th in 2023 after, two different dates. I'm worried for this game. I don't really care about it personally, but there's a couple different things here that I think are at play. So if you look at the statement that they released on social media and on their whatever paths they did, one of the things they mentioned were, due to ongoing discussions with our strategic partners, we have chosen to delay the game to 2023. So for me, I don't read this as this game's in a bad shape, but it also could be. But to me, this goes, this window is crowded. Get the game out of there, especially on the back of its original release date was October. So it was right on the cusp. It should also mention it's a console exclusive, at least timed for PlayStation. So you've got Last of Us in September, God of War in November. Why crowd that market with another PlayStation console exclusive? And I think PlayStation have learned their lesson from the likes of Ghostwire Tokyo and Deathloop that if you're going to do these second party dealings, don't send them out to die. And this game kind of looks like it's already on that path. So put it in a window where there's nothing else to buy. Like the reason the Quarry's doing so well right now is because there was nothing else in that window. So everyone's like, yeah, I'll jump on the Quarry and it's making a ton of coin. So if they can do the same thing, even though I'm pretty sure January and February next year can be just as fucked as this year, if they can do this, sick. Win. Absolute win for them. But yeah, to me, I think there's been some pressure, whether it be from PlayStation, whether it be from Square Enix themselves. Nah, Square Enix? Pretty sure it's Square Enix. Yeah, it is Square Enix. So maybe they're moving it for that reason, to sort of have it to, you know, there's been communication between, because Square Enix obviously have a very good working relationship with PlayStation. Maybe there's come to an agreement to move it to pass those two big games. We are under the impression that there's another Final Fantasy game coming this year. It's that Tactics remake is coming in 2022, apparently. Maybe they want to push that back to sort of separate that from Final Fantasy, so not get fucking drowned out by something within their own company. A couple of things place here, potentially. And finally, on the quick bits, GTA 6 was announced this week as Rockstar's complete and current focus, as there was originally a Red Dead Redemption and a GTA 4 remasters in the works, but they have allegedly been shelved, as in they've gone, nah, we're not working on them anymore, we're focusing solely on GTA 6. And apparently this does also include like GTA Online, which is also not getting a lot of support either. It didn't get support anyway, and now it's getting even less support. So there's a couple of things to take into consideration here. Number one, the no remasters of Red Dead Redemption and GTA 4 is a bit shit. Red Dead Redemption is awesome. There is the upscale capabilities of the Xbox where you can plug the disc in and you'll get a 4K 60 version of Red Dead. And as it run like trash on the PS3, it runs fantastic on the Xbox. Not much more you can say there. Like if you're going to play it, you're playing your Xbox. But having a full-blown remaster to have it look as good as Red Dead Redemption 2, or at least upscale to look as best as it possibly could, clearly it's doable. If the fucking Xbox can do it almost natively within its own console, then why can't they do it? But, okay. GTA 4, also playable on your Xbox through that backwards compatibility. So if you're on Xbox, that's success. But here, it's trapped on PS3. And GTA 4 was different compared to every other GTA game that's before and after it. It's such a cool, unique experience. Like, they went that super realism route. Like, the physics engine, the cars, how you walked, everything about that game, they went for a more bunkered down, realistic version of New York with Liberty City. And I think the game is brilliant for that. I love the game for that. And then, of course, you've got those first two, like those two DLCs with The Lost and the Damned and The Ballad of Gay Tony, which, you know, on for most people on the record is like Ballad of Gay Tony is one of the best DLCs ever made. So to have that completely trapped on a console two generations ago that cannot be easily replicated because of that cell architecture in the PS3, that's a bit of a bummer. But, so from that. But to go alongside what Flashy in the chat has said, they said blaming the decision to cancel the remaster on the poor reception of GTA Definitive Edition plus their focus. Bingo. And I think that's the answer. I think the answer is that they, with that poor reception of the GTA Definitive Edition, which is the remasters of 3, Vice City, and San Andreas, they've stepped away. Now, I can only presume that was because they had Grove Street Games possibly booked to do the remasters of those two games, and seeing how poo-hole they were, maybe they stepped away. But it's one of those things. Take-Two, the parent company of Rockstar, and Rockstar themselves are fucking swimming in coin. How can they, like, yes, they can put all their focus into GTA 6, but why not? Like, I understand, like, hey, we make enough money off GTA 5 and GTA Online. Why would we need to do it? There's legacy in these titles. You're making GTA 6. You can't just choose to avoid one of those entries, or even the previous entries. Like, the fact that they just gave the Definitive Edition out to Grove Street Games, just let them butcher it and put it on out. Now, I don't think they consciously released it shitty. That is no question, right? I don't think they intentionally got Grove Street to make a shitty version of the game, because why? But that the up-res, the remastering of those games was done primarily by AI, hence why things look fucking weird. But they had to get it out, or at least they felt they had to get it out. That's the problem. So they could have kept it. They could have funneled money at it, because they fucking have money. It's not as if they don't have the money. And GTA 5 support is going to keep happening. People are going to keep playing. People are going to keep buying it. So just putting money into something else and going, hey, here's those old GTAs you love to play along, you know, play alongside GTA 5. That is what you should do. You have a legacy that you should be supporting, that you should be keeping well fed, because that's massive. You can't be like, oh, we're GTA 6 now, but fuck all the other ones. Like, what's this, Star Wars? No, it's all part of it. You shouldn't do that. You can't do that. Red Dead Redemption 2, one of the greatest games on record. I think it's the top 7th best-selling game of all time, and they just choose to not support its online because it's much harder to make fucking cool shit in the West when you can make flying cars and shit in GTA Online, but you're like, ah, it's horses and stuff. Like, that's your fault. You made the fucking world. Don't, be better. Have people that do it well. Like, don't just give up. Like, you've got millions of people that bought money. You have potentially millions of people, or at least hundreds of thousands of people playing Red Dead Online. I played, Craig and I, Mullet Show, we played Red Dead Redemption Online for months during the pandemic. We fucking loved it. But did we run out of shit to do pretty quick? Yeah, because there was no DLC, there was no extra missions or anything. GTA Online gets support like every month where here's cool new shit. Where's that for Red Dead? Didn't happen. We fell out. That's a bummer. You know, it's tough. It's when they have all the money, why? I understand the GTA 6 is their focus, it's going to be huge, because if they have to beat the, similar to God of War Ragnarok, if they have to beat the expectations of GTA 5, then they're gonna go hard. And they also don't have the houses anymore. So the team, or at least one of the houses, I think Dan Houser was the one that left. Like, the one of the individuals that wrote near on every game that Rockstar have ever delivered of massive note, or any really, they're gone. Your writing talent has left. The thing that made GTA, GTA has gone. The thing that made Manhunt, Bully, Red Dead, they're gone. They're probably fucking full of fear right now. And they're playing conservatively because of it. It's a problem. And if they aren't confident what the next game's going to be, And they go, why would they re-release the old games that are really good, that are received really well? And they go, well, you just remastered all these games that are better than the game you're working on. That certainly is a point of concern. But in the chat, there was one thing I missed earlier from Flashy. They said, The Quarry came out of nowhere for me. Didn't think it would be as good and a hit as it was. Once again, just came out in a good window. And I think that's what will happen with Forspoken, potentially. Upcoming titles, apparently there aren't any. So, but Stray comes out on the 19th. But that is after the next show. So, apparently there's no games coming out this week. I don't know. Go play something else. I don't know if I'm fucking going to play that. All right. Well, that does bring us to the end of the show. As I said, I ended up going as long as a normal show, even by myself. So I'm thirsty. I got my beers. Turns out a pale ale was a bad choice, as it just parched me further. Ooh, that's not refreshing. I'm just drying out my mouth. But thank you everyone for joining me for this week's episode of the show. Pardon me. As I say each and every week, the greatest thing you can do is give your time to someone, spend your time, share your time. So thank you for doing it, whether for the whole week, for each and every week, or just this week. It's much appreciated. Back as at the start, I should remember, so if you do follow us on our social medias, we have had a problem with the Facebook page today, where someone got in through Dylan, through his account, kicked myself and Josh and as admins, and hopefully we can get back in and get access to the page again. Fingers crossed. But if weird stuff starts getting posted on that page, please start reporting it, because it's not us, and that's going to be a problem. But all our other socials are pretty safe at the moment, so that's a big thumbs up. But yeah, thank you for that. All right, let's send this motherfucker home. So this PlayStation Conversation happened on a Monday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you are listening on podcast, so if you want to join the conversation, you can head over to Facebook, Twitter, well, maybe not Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, all those links are in the description below. If you want to join the show as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/subcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening on podcast services, sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you're watching us on YouTube, sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, and buy shirts, other assorted shit without logos on it. And of course, you can help support the brands, help support us, just like our friends over at Manscaped. If you head over to au.manscaped.com and use the promo code FTP, get yourself 20% off and free worldwide shipping. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson. Pardon me. And that was For the Players. Probably shouldn't have ended on a burp.